Your desire tonight? Amen. That's my desire. Hallelujah. Welcome to the service this evening. Just want you to join in with us, giving God some glory. Amen. Let's sing that song, These Are the Days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. Days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Oh, these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore. Still we are the voice in the desert crying, temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Oh, the fields are wide in the world. And we are the laborers in your call. Lift your voice. It's a year ago. listen now. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, He comes riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. Now to Zion till salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, He comes riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call,
for my Jesus. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, Our God Reigns.
How lovely are the mountains, are the feet of Him who brings good news.
Oh, yes.
Oh, good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. See our God reigns.
Hallelujah. Come on and sing it with me now with all your hearts.
Yes, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Our God reigns. It was our sin. Thank you.
Give him some more praise. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. My, that sounds awesome. I wish y'all could be here and hear what I hear. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll change the order of our song service. We won't want to be too long. I have a couple special requests. We want to get those in here. And I'm going to let you have your seats for just a moment. Some of these prayer requests we did mention this morning. I want to continue to remember these folks in prayer, especially remember Brother Faye and Sister Faye and Brother Wayne. Prayer requests this morning for their grandson Paxton. My apologies. He was transferred to Little Rock Children's Hospital this morning with the croup. Remember him in prayer, and also especially remember the lady that Sister Kim Neal. She was bitten severely by a bulldog on her mail route, and she's suffering emotionally from that. She is healing, but we want to remember her in prayer. Man, a very traumatic experience. I want to remember Sister Amber McCall. She's not feeling well. She has a sinus congestion and bronchitis. Sister Carrie Whitlock was dealing with the same thing, so let's remember her in prayer. I want to remember Sister Sarah Visaki, who's not feeling well. Sister Karen Buchanan, I want to remember her in prayer. Sister Shirley Buchanan, and I want to remember Sister Sarah Buchanan, and also Ashley in prayer. Amen. I have a need here for Sister Cindy Walters. She is fighting a bad cold, so we want to remember her in prayer as well. And that's all the special needs that I have before us at this time. I'd like to ask Brother Richard Smith if he would be prepared to take these needs before the Lord. Let's all stand. If you have unspoken prayer requests, by the uplifting of hands, amen. God knows your needs, amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for allowing us to be able to come to this house of worship and prayer, Lord. We just praise you and glorify you so much here, Lord. And we're just thankful, Lord, that the weather hasn't been able to stop us from coming, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your many blessings, Lord. We just thank you for who you are, our precious Lord and Savior. And we just pray, Lord, for all these folks that are on the prayer list. Pray that you just, Lord, just be with each and every one. Minister to each one. Whatever their need is for healing, Lord, we just pray. And all the ones that raised their hands, Lord, for unspoken requests, we just pray you'll just honor those also, Lord, as only you can, Father. Anyone on the internet that's listening, Lord, we just pray that their request, Lord, would be honored by you too, Lord Jesus, with healing in whatever way needs to be done, Father. We thank you for the message this morning, Lord, and we're looking forward to whatever's going to be coming tonight with the mission work. Lord, has helped us all to be mission-minded, I pray, Father, and whatever message would be delivered because of the missions, Lord, we just ask you to just anoint the speaker and anoint our ears to hear, Father. We just thank you so much for this being able to live in this time and day, Lord, when things are getting so close, Lord. We're just honored as a people, Lord, to be able to be doing this, Father. We just give you praise, honor, and glory for all of it, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, I ask it, O Lord. Amen.
Amen. May I have your seats? I'd like to ask Sister Lily if she would come forward at this time. We'll just sing that as she's preparing.
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I find joy of a region in your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your
drove me to the solid rock. You
Let's all stand to our feet. For the sake of time, we're going to go ahead and let our pastor come forward. I believe he has a lot of material, and we want to just give him ample time. If our deacons would come forward, take up our evening offering. And Brother Andy, if you would lead us in prayer.
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. And we just thank you, Father. And we were unlovable, you still love us. And so, Father, we just ask that you bless this offering plate, all that goes in.
Amen. Let's sing that song, We Fall Down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Amen.
We fall down and we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the
ask you to take your Bible tonight. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. We greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight, and we thank you all for being here and for those listening online. Acts chapter 13, we'd like to read this little familiar passage which occurred after Paul took the gospel and delivered it to the Gentiles and turned from the Jews. Obviously, as Paul and the disciples went to minister and witness and publish the message from that point on, the Gentiles rejoiced. They were happy because now they were recipients of the word of life. They were now experiencing what had been reserved entirely for the Jewish population since the beginning of Abraham and Moses' ministry. In Acts chapter 13, 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated tonight. This is going to be a little bit different, but I wanted to take time tonight to present something that I think is special to you and to our church here that is a recent development, and trust that it will be not only a blessing and help to you, but also to others in the world. I just want to dwell for a moment here on this phrase in verse 49 of Acts chapter 13, that the word of the Lord was published throughout all of the region. And the word publish back in that day, as Paul used it, it literally meant to bear or to carry something from place to place. So when something was published, and back then they didn't have books so much like we have today, but they had scrolls or parchments. They had letters that they exchanged and sent around. Books never really came into being until Martin Luther's age, basically, and Gutenberg produced the first Bible, and books were a very, very rare thing right up until the Enlightenment period and the Reformation period. And so the idea was that when something was published, it was carried from place to place. It was carried in different directions. Now, the only way you can carry something in different directions is if you have more than one, right? You got to have at least two to carry something in different directions. And carry it to different places. And to consider something important enough or valuable enough that it was worth carrying, making the journey to carry something to somewhere else. And in the definition in Scripture, it literally says this: it makes a difference, it matters, it's of importance. It makes a difference, it matters, is of importance. That's the definition of the word publish. So the thing we are going to publish has to matter a lot. It's got to matter a great deal. It's got to be something significant, important, and of value. That's why you publish something. And then you take it and you bring it to different places. You go east and west, north and south. You go everywhere with it because it is of value. It is something that everyone would want to see or everyone would want to have. They would want to have their own copy of something or their own piece of this. And so that's what the word publish means in Acts chapter 13, that when the gospel was given to the Gentiles, their response was, hey, this is so great, this is so valuable, we want everybody to have it. We want to get it out. We want to be able to distribute this and make sure it gets in everybody's hands. That's literally the idea that Luke, the writer of Acts, was conveying here. That this is the thing that we've waited for, and now we have access to it. And so let's write it out, and let's let it go. Let's get it out east and west in different directions simultaneously because of its importance. I believe myself that the message is the solution to our problems. I believe this light, this message represents the light of God in this last day. I believe it is of value to us. I thank God for the word of the Lord that has come to us in this last day, and the Bible and the message and how it all has become so clear and so precious to us. I believe that mankind's problems began all the way back from the Garden of Eden after the fall. And I believe the solution has been delivered to us. And that is in the word of the Lord. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm a recipient of that. Somebody gave it to me and put it in my hand. Matter of fact, I have the copy of the book, the Old Church Age book, that my brother physically, my physical brother, physically put in my hand in 1979 and said, read this. He said, this has got the answer to your questions. And I had lots of questions as a young man, 21 years old, wondering, about answers in life and what was important and what I needed to do and how could I be happy and successful and so forth. Had all kinds of questions. And he gave me that book physically, literally put it in my hand, and he said, this is the book that has the answers for you. And once I encountered that, it became a life-changing experience. I know there are some of you here that went through the same thing and had experience where somebody gave you a copy of the message as well, and for the first time, and it changed your life, and life is never the same after you encounter the living God in this age. How many can say amen? So it is if it is of value, then it is something that we want everybody to enjoy. If it's of value, it's something that we want everybody to experience and to encounter. And that's really what we want to talk about tonight. I sometimes just pause to think, where would I be tonight if somebody had not given it to me? If I had had no exposure to the message at all, where would I be tonight and what would my life look like? I'll guarantee I probably would not be here. And then, in your own case, and you could probably all testify the same thing, if somebody had not taken the time to publish the message or carry it to you and to give it to you and put it in your hand, how different would your life be? And when we encounter something as precious as this, the response is, like the people in the book of Acts, the response is, well, we want others to have this as well. We want to carry this to others. We want to give it to our family and our associates and people that we encounter in life. We want to be able to bring it different directions wherever we go because we esteem it as something of great value. Move our time up 2,000 years, and here's a prophet that says in 1961, he said, I think that's what God does with his word. It's anointed. It's him. And we're his messengers. Let me say that again. It's him, and we're his messengers. And we ain't got time to stop to do this and argue and fuss this. The message is urgent. People are dying. Let's get there and stop our denominational barriers and everything else. Let's break through. Yes, sir. Get the message to a dying world. That is the commission that's given to every one of us to publish the message by our definition, to publish it and get it out and give it to a world that needs it because our world is dying. And I believe the message of the hour, the word that God has given to us in this late last hour, I believe it's our solution. I believe it contains rapturing faith. How many would agree? I believe it is a very valuable and a precious thing. And so therefore, the distribution of the word and the giving out of the word is a very special task that God gives not only to ministers and people who live overseas, but I believe it's given to all of us to shoulder the responsibility of making that happen. And it's quite possible. Again, Brother Branham says in 1959, in Discerning the Body of the Lord, he said, it's at the close of the age and the church is in a terrible, terrible condition. And we're only trying to scatter sunshine among the people, not to try to convert them over to some of our beliefs, but to try to get them to live closer to the Lord Jesus and believe him. And that's our motive, but to try to get them to live closer to the Lord Jesus and believe him. And so, for a moment here, let me just take you back a little bit in the history of the printed message and how it all began. So just let me walk you through some of the key events. And this is not a complete history, it's not a complete story. But let me just bring you back and let you see some of the steps that have brought us to where we are today when it comes to the message of the hour. When Brother Branham was still alive, they were not printing his books, basically. In 1965, Brother Roy Borders was asked to begin to think about publishing the message and printing the message at what was then called Spoken Word Publications. Brother Branham had a microphone And God allowed the tape recorder to be invented so that we could have the message on the old reel-to-reels. I have some of them in my house, and they're a very precious thing. And so Brother Branham had that opportunity to be able to minister and have it captured. And we are the people who are blessed by having what he said to be captured on tape so we can listen to it exactly as he said it. And I mean, we are people that are unique. No other age and time, no other group of people ever on the history of the earth got a recording of their church age messenger or their prophet or the Savior or any other era, any other age, any other people got a recording of what was said. And we can hear it for our own ears. It's just absolutely a tremendous thing. So from those early days, Brother Roy Borders was asked to print and publish the message. This is what it looked like. It was spoken word publications, and messages came out kind of in a random order, and you'll see some of them on the screen there. And they were transcribed and put into print. Some of that printing operation was very manual. This is Brother Roy Borders with Brother Branham back in 1965, and you can see some of the people there working and assembling some of the books together. The equipment, the process, the facility they had was really quite primitive, even for 1965. The way that the books were printed were actually on what's called a linotype machine. And some of you older folks are nodding your heads will remember a linotype machine is when they would take hot lead and they would pour the lead into molds and make letters. Cases were made where letters were put in reverse, making words, making sentences, making paragraphs, and making pages. Once they made reproductions of a page, then they would reproduce that and so forth and eventually produce a book. Very slow, very manual, very time-consuming. Another drawback of that process was that you couldn't do foreign languages. So the only books that were printed in the early days were books that were in English. That's all they had. And so they came to a place where, as technology developed, there was a need for a more advanced way to print the message and get it out. There were some people who kept up with those times. Brother David Mamlis was one of them from Phoenix, Arizona. Brother Mamlis was pictured here with Brother Branham, and he produced the books that you see over on the left side of your screen there. And those are still available. You can purchase them. I think a book like his is $1.75 a message, and you could purchase those still, I believe, on the Internet. Then there were, in more recent times, the life story of Brother Branham. That's a copy of the life story in the French language. And, of course, over on the right-hand side, now we have a multitude of websites in almost every language on Earth on the Internet. Where you can access information at least about Brother Branham and his ministry, and you can read some of the sermons in their language. Some of the early folks that were instrumental in bringing the message around, this is a little bit before some of your time, were people like Brother and Sister Sidney Jackson, who lived in South Africa. They were friends of Brother Branham. Brother Branham and Brother Jackson were supernaturally led to come together. And Brother Jackson, even before Brother Branham passed away, Brother Jackson was instrumental in going to different places, and one of the places he went to back in that day was Tanganyika, which is now Tanzania, and brought the message there and put it in the hands of people in that part of the world. And he was very instrumental at traveling in all the different countries of the African continent and getting the message into the hands of people. But again, the amount of printed material they had was actually limited back then. Now, the next screen, I kind of hesitate to show you, but I want to throw it up here simply because it represents some of the personalities and some of the people who have been involved recently and historically in terms of getting the message out and have made great sacrifice and great contribution in getting the message out. Most of these faces you would be familiar with. And these brothers have labored with many others to be able to get the message into the hands of believers in different languages. And they've contributed in their own way, in their own ministries, and done a fabulous work, done a tremendous work. And I've been very proud to work with almost all of these brothers here at one point or another. In the very top here in the center is a picture of Sidney Jackson and Brother Reginald Searle, and that's my father-in-law on the right-hand side. This picture was taken in New Zealand. And Brother Reginald Searle was a man who traveled in all of the East Asian Pacific region to hand deliver books to believers in very, very primitive locations. He was an electrical engineer by trade, pastored a church in Gisborne, New Zealand, and travel all in that region, and many times would even go to a country because he felt led to go to a country and just go to a hotel room and pray and wait on God until he led him to somebody who would be receptive to the message. And they had very little printed material back in that day, but he took whatever he had and brought it to that country and helped establish churches in that country. And today, the reason that many of the message churches exist in all of the Asia-Pacific Rim is because of the work, the early work, that Brother Searle did. Of course, Brother Biscoll and Brother Hildebrand have been at it a long time and working in different places, and Brother Lonnie and others. I think of Brother Andre Petit and the work that he's done in Haiti and still continues to do the work in Haiti. The French brothers who print in the Congo and many others who are laboring. Brother, this week I'll be with Brother Per Johansen in Norway, and he's been the pastor behind all the printing operation in the Norwegian language, him and Brother Ryerson. And then, you know, Brother Gerd Rodewald in Germany and how generous he has been in helping to support printing all over the world. Many, many brothers who have contributed. And so I hesitate to put this up because I don't want to exclude anybody. I would like to stand tonight and say that I applaud these brothers and many others as well who have been instrumental and used of God to get this message out. And I'll tell you why. Because they deem it a valuable thing. They deem it as something of great value, something very precious. And when you feel, when you understand and know how precious it is, you're wanting to get it out to the rest of the world. You're wanting to see people encounter the same God that that Brother Branham knew. We also then come to the place where now technology brings us to places like the Message Hub. And the Message Hub is a repository where translators from around the world can translate and upload the message so that anyone who speaks that language can download the message on their phone or computer, and they can have it in that language. And this has been a great resource for us. A couple of months ago, I flew to Cloverdale to talk to Brother Biscoll and Brother Tim Dodd, who's pictured here. And Brother Tim Dodd tonight is in Uganda, holding meetings over there and ministering to the people. And we discussed the whole possibility of being able to use the sermons by translators that are on the hub for printing purposes. Once things are on the hub, they're able to be seen or heard, but the hub is not a printing operation. So in the third world, printing often looks like this. And I've seen and set up and helped set up printing operations like this around the world. We had them in our own home. We did books like this, tracts like this. This is a book we did for Dan Daisley and Henry Green years ago. There are all kinds of examples of message tracts and books that were that we did back in our day. Sorry, went the wrong way here. And we're able to help set up presses like this, operations like this, where brothers would print, say, 100 or 200 copies of the message. And they've got pages set out there on their table, and they're taking these boxes here, and they're going to collate. You manually take the pages and put them in order, and then they're going to take whatever they can, like an iron, and press that, fold that book and press it with the iron. Here he is with the open box right here, and they're collating, sorting pages here. And then they would take the iron and press the book. This is just a couple of years ago, folks. This is not early church. This is a couple of years ago. And they would take that book and press it, and then they would staple it and trim it and give it out to the people in that particular country, which is Ulyanovsk in central Russia. Those brothers are very industrious, and they just love the message, and they wanted to be able to print it on their own. And it was impossible for them to get enough books to supply believers. And that's really been the historic problem, is that there's not been enough books, really, for believers, for everybody to have their own copy. We're spoiled in North America. We are definitely spoiled because we have the message in many forms, and we have access to it. We've got a library full of books back here that we can have right at our disposal, and we can have anything in the English language right in our fingertips immediately. But in third world countries, it has to go through a process of translation, a process of discussion, so that we can find the best translator, and then to be able to have the equipment to be able to print it, then to be able to process the pages and so forth, and then be able to distribute it to believers all over the country. So when you take a country, for instance, like the Congo, where there are literally hundreds of thousands, probably into the millions, of believers in that country. 500 books really doesn't go very far. When you talk about countries like Brazil, or you talk about countries like India, where there are multiple languages that that people speak there. Or in a place like Zambia, which Lord willing we'll visit in August, where they have seven different main languages in that country, like Bemba. And there are very, very few messages that are translated into that language. But there are all kinds of believers who live in that area. And really, probably all they would have in terms of the message is maybe a sermon or two, maybe a Bible, and then whatever they hear when they come to church. And that's all they have. So this process is an ongoing process to be able to, in various third world countries, to try to supply enough printed material so people can actually have their own book. They can have their own Bible in their language. What I'm presenting to you tonight is a solution, a method to deliver the solution, which is the message, to people in the world. And that is this: Vision Books. Vision Books is simply a method to deliver the message to people in the world. Vision Books is an attempt on our part to meet the need of the hour by giving people this life-giving message, because I feel it's so important. In any language, in any country. And Vision Books exists, and that's just really a name for the process, a method to get the message out, to getting the copies of the message to believers worldwide. I think in our culture in North America, having printed books is no challenge. We have them. We have them in good quality. We have them accessible. We can have them in all kinds of forms, and we can have them electronically, we can have them printed mechanically. But in third world countries, having the book in your hand is something that is really an exceptional thing. It's not an ordinary thing. And so, in this world today, there is no place, there is no operation anymore where books are being printed on a large scale. All large-scale printing of message books has stopped. Immediately when that happened, I had a flurry of letters and emails that came to me, and still come to me, where brothers said, but we need printed materials. We want to have Church Age book, or a Seals book, or a COD book, or Daniel 70 Weeks. We want to have these books in our hands. Many times, if a church has a printer, they can download a sermon from the hub or some other website, and they can print out a few copies for themselves. But to supply a country where there's 100,000 believers or 50,000 believers, that becomes a pretty difficult thing. And it becomes a pretty impossible thing for anyone to do it on an ongoing basis here. So Vision Books is simply a method. It is a way to deliver the solution, which is the message, to believers all over the world. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company that published it. So the first step has been to work with translators and technical folks all over the world. And we have some excellent technical-minded people here, people who either build websites or operate computers, be able to configure the message and be able to set up for translation. And always that's the first step, because there's no point in printing something that's not translated well. Thankfully, over the years, translators have been working. They have been accumulating data and messages, and they've been working faithfully. I would like to just stop and say this, that I think one of the most unacknowledged but important jobs that have gone on in the community of believers worldwide since Brother Branham's on the earth is the work of translators. You probably know very few translators in the world, and they sit at their desk and look like this, and work like this day in and day out, and are rarely acknowledged or applauded. But they do a tireless work to look at the English language and their native language and match the two. So when Brother Branham preaches in, whether it's Hindi or Portuguese or French, it sounds sensible. It sounds like somebody in that nation would be speaking that language. And this process is a tedious, time-consuming process. I'm very grateful that we don't have to go find translators. There are translators literally working in just about every nation on earth. And I'm very thankful for that. Some of them are paid, some of them are not. Some of them are known, some of them are not. Brother Paul LaFontaine is working with the Spanish translators in several different countries, and they're feeding into one website to get all of the Spanish messages translated, and to be able to work with Brother George Smith and other groups that have been coordinating the Spanish message to get the entire 1,147 sermons translated into Spanish. Many of these brothers, let me tell you something, I think it's a tremendous responsibility, and they are gifted to be able to do what they do. Everybody can't translate the message into a foreign language, and these brothers have been tireless in their labors to do that. And so this first step, the translation, has to take place, and then printed materials then come from that. And again, it's important for us to have a good translation so that we can then go to the print stage. The print stage is not a difficult thing. To be able to assemble books and to be able to physically print books, that's not a difficult thing. If you have a good translation, that's step number one. Step number two is to be able to get it onto a machine and then have it printed so that brothers can use it and be able to distribute it among their people. It's important that ministers have lots of different titles so that they can study the message and study the progression of things that Brother Branham said throughout his whole ministry. And to be able to take the message then and be able to duplicate it and be able to distribute it among their people in their countries, that's a very exciting thing for them. But again, it's a very expensive process if you do it in a country where printing is not an easy thing to do. These are pictures of believers in Ukraine who come together every year for a convention. Now, they used to come together in Ukraine. Russia took over that part of the Crimea Peninsula. But they came together every year, and there were books that were printed over there. We did the Seven Seals book and several other books through the years, and they would come and pick up their books, and they were so happy and excited to be able to get the books and take them on back to their country, because Russia is a very big place, 11 time zones across. And it was a very hard thing to mail all those books, so when they came together, they were able to take them and bring them back. Vision books, again, is a method to be able to deliver the message to people in a printed form. Once the books are printed and shipped, they're delivered then to a port of entry that we determine in a nation to be distributed through the efforts of local believers. If we have translators, and if we have a printer that looks like this, we take those messages after they're printed, put them on a boat and send them over to a foreign country like Tanzania or to South America. The brothers in those countries then would receive those books and be able to distribute them among their churches and among ministry over there. So those three steps are the important thing. For the first time, we're able to utilize the help of local ministers to get this job done. To number one, determine the quality of the books needed and make sure the translation is right. To approve the translations. And then thirdly, to be able to coordinate distribution of the books. I am really excited to be able to announce to you that I have the first proof back from China of the first book that will be printed and sent to Mozambique and Angola. This is a proof. I don't know if you're familiar at all with printing terminologies and the method of printing a book. The finished product will look like this. This is a dummy. There's nothing written in this one, but they sent me this one because this is exactly going to be the size and the shape of the book. It's going to be this color. It's going to have this design. All of these books are going to have a design similar to this. This is going to be the finished size, finished product. They sent me this Friday from China so that we could have Paulo in Portugal look at this proof. He did the translation. And make sure all the pages are in order because I don't speak Portuguese. He's going to approve the proof. Once he signs off on this, it goes back to China. They print the books. They are printed then within 3 to 4 weeks. They take them and put them on a boat, and they're sent to two countries, Angola and Mozambique. 5,000 in one country, 5,000 in another. I contacted my brothers in South Africa, Brother Rodney Busami and a couple of others, and they have a very good friend down there who's in the message, who is an accountant in a large oil drilling company in Mozambique. He's very high up in the echelon of the oil company there, and he's familiar with importing and exporting out of the country. So he stepped up to the plate. They told him what was in the pipeline here and what was coming. And he said, I'll take care of the import of these books into the countries. Because he's born in Angola but works in Mozambique. So he sent us directions and addresses so we can send as a port of entry into Mozambique. They'll come into Maputo, which is the capital there, and then into Angola. And both of those countries then are able to receive the books through the efforts of this brother who's the accountant, be able to bring them right into the country and put them in the hands of the pastors in that part of the world. As a matter of fact, Brother Rodney and several other ministers in South Africa are so excited about this. When the books arrive on the ship, they're going to come and fly to Mozambique and be there to make sure that the books get out into the hands of the ministers. This is the very first one. This has been the result of efforts of translators who have already worked and labored to be able to get the message into that language. So the translation part's already done. We had to format it in order to get it into a printing mode and then design the covers, be able to configure everything, get it off to our printers through our broker, and be able to have them turn this book around. They actually turned around that proof in 5 days. I have 11 different books behind that one. So we have books in the Filipino language, in the Spanish language. We're going to be dropping books in four nations in South America so they can all have the church age book in their language. Swahili is coming right behind that. Swahili will be the next book. We have the Seven Seals and the Church Ages that are both coming together at the same time. We'll print enough books for all believers in Tanzania, Kenya, Malawi, Rwanda, and parts of Congo. They'll all be delivered and drop shipped off a ship into Tanzania and distributed from there. All of this process is already in motion. What's really wonderful is that the first three books are already paid for. Ministers who I've sent that letter to that you received yesterday, ministers, when they found out about this process and how simple it actually is to get done, they jumped right in with both feet and said, we believe this message is worth publishing. Let's take the biblical definition. It's worth spreading. It's worth sending here and there and everywhere. It's worth getting out because it's a thing of great value. And so ministers, other individuals have contacted me and said, hey, heard about what you're doing. We want to get behind it. How can we help? Tell us what we need to do. Where can we, where can we help? How can we assist? There are people who are ready to travel to foreign countries. There are people who are willing to support. Our church becomes, in a sense, that hub where this activity takes place, and to be able to coordinate, that activity from here to other nations as well, working with the translators. What's really wonderful, then, is to see the response of believers in foreign countries who receive these materials. Our website now is being configured so that we'll have a section on here for Vision Books, so that you'll be able to read the testimonies and be able to see the results of people receiving the message in their language. Again, on a home printer, you can sometimes print a message and that looks like this and fold it. But to be able to do books of this size is a different challenge. To be able to make it, be able to put it together so that it will stay together is a real challenge. So that would be an almost impossible task for an individual in a house to do, or somebody maybe in a local church to do. This allows us to be able to put the more difficult books into the hands of believers over there. And if people want to do the smaller books as well, there's no problem. It's definitely within reach for us to be able to print in the language. If we have a translator who's already working, they can always get those translations to us. We can put them in the hands of the printer and then get them out to the believers in different parts of the world. Over the years, I've watched people get their hands on the message. I've watched people when the boxes arrive. I've been there when, they open up those first boxes and they were just excited to be able to get the message in their hands. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith to Zion, thy God reigneth. Remember, it's not about the printer. It's not about the guy who turns on the printing press. It's the message. It's the word of the Lord. It's the light of the hour. That's the thing that's exciting. And now they have it in their hand, and now they have it in their language, and now they have it, you know, for their very own. And that's what's exciting to see that happen. And I'll tell you what, when you see the people and they, you know, they get, now they have it, they possess it, and they own it, and, you know, it's there's no such thing as a Christian bookstore in any of those countries. There's no such thing as, you know, having access to that. The only way is if there's some people who are able to coordinate the printing and, you know, supply these books and be able to bring them to, or send them to people over there in that part of the world. It's just an exciting thing. It just gets me all excited, and I feel like this is the thing that the Lord would have us to be involved in, to be able to supply the believers, because I believe when the last believer believes, we'll go. Not just church goers, but believers. When the last believer comes in, when the last believer comes in and embraces the message, whether it's in Pakistan, and, you know, Brother Anwar, when he and I were talking about this whole process of getting the message done, and I, let me tell you something, a man like Brother Anwar, who's, you know, he's just labored among the people to the point of almost losing his life because he stands for the gospel. He comes over on this side, continues to translate, and pay for printing of books in Pakistan out of his own pocket. Let me tell you, Brother Anwar is not a rich man. And out of his own pocket, when he could, he would accumulate, save enough money to send over to the printer over there and have them bring a manuscript over and have it printed. And this is what they would have over in their country there. And I would ask him every now and then, I'd say, Brother Anwar, you know, have we printed any books lately? And he said, no. He said, I just ran out of funds. We weren't able to do it. So we would get behind that effort and try to get it done. And now it's possible through Vision Books to be able to get that done in larger quantities, much cheaper. Because now we can print a book like this for less than a dollar and a half, less than $1.50 U.S. And to have that put in the hands of the people in this level of quality in their own language, that's pretty good. Believers in Russia, believers in Ukraine, believers in Lithuania, all of these folks here having message books in their language being delivered. Let me give you a little excerpt out of a letter that I received just recently. Dear Brother Barry, this is a minister who actually lives in Malawi, and he wrote me. He said, Dear Brother Barry, wonderful announcement. He said, I would like to appreciate for the burden, this is exactly as he wrote it, for the burden that the Lord has put on your heart. I do not think that we can completely eliminate the printing of books, but what Africa needs is the support from you, senior ministers. I don't like being called senior, but to help with translation on the sustainable basis till churches in Africa can be independent and support each other. Let me just stop and say this. I think it'd be absolutely wonderful. These brothers realized, okay, hey, this can be done. And for them to take this over and to begin printing themselves and ordering from China or India and having, you know, suppliers supply their books. If I can do it, they can do it. And these are brothers here who realize, wow, this is possible, this is doable, and this is financially not so great of a burden. So now it's in the hands, and what I intend to do is put it in the hands of those local believers and local ministers and say, you can do this. We can give you all the contacts. We can give you all the support we can and the encouragement we can, but you brothers can do this. And this is what this brother recognizes here. We line up translators, get the language rolling, get messages you know, turned out in their language, and they can become independent and start to do this work on their own. However, the gadgets are a help, electronic gadgets. He said, to most town brothers and town youth. But in the remote areas, the books are the way to go due to electrical challenges that Africa faces. Not just Africa, but many third world countries, they face consistent, regular electricity and electricity sharing. Many times there's surges that will fry their machines over there. Computers and so forth that are plugged in. Or printers. I've seen printers go up in smoke. Myself and Peter were in Latvia and saw a printer go up in smoke because it was not hooked up correctly in their grid. And they face lots of technical challenges like that in that part of the world. One thing about a book, it's a timeless resource. It's a timeless thing that you can take, You don't need to charge it. You can keep it. You can reference it. You can write on it. And you can, you know, share it around and let other people access it as well. They are also few. They are also few messages that are translated. Hence, most messages are in English, and most ministers in the remote areas do not speak or understand English. So here we are, and this was written to me a couple of days ago. Here we are in 2019, and there are still people in foreign countries that are saying, we hardly have any messages in our language. And we have them in English. We have access to some in English, but we don't have many. And then there are people who don't speak English in those countries. And I'm thinking, we have so much. We have access to so much in our language, because we had a prophet that came that spoke our language, and so we have access to it. I think, listen folks, I think, to me, it just, even just before I came out of the room, I just began to think about personally, just the weight of responsibility that we have as believers on this side of the world, to be able to do what we can to help others. And I just want to say this about this church and our church here. We're not a great group, and we don't have great resources, and we don't have, you know, stockpiles of anything. But God has allowed us to have a vision that's broad so that we're able to help people and, you know, to be able to work towards a goal with other people in other nations. And I applaud you for that, and I thank you for that, because it isn't just me. I might be the mouth around here, but, you know, it takes a church behind you to be able to accomplish things in other parts of the world. And there are many countries and many people that are blessed because of the efforts and the giving and the contributions that you have. And again, when needs have to be met, God does not all of a sudden, you know, pour all the money and, you know, great buckets of money into our lap here. God doesn't do that. But sometimes God will take just the small things that we give and breathe on it, multiply it, bless it, so that it can be accomplished great things. And I just marvel at the supernatural work of Almighty God, how He accomplishes that and gets it done. And I tell you what, it just takes people coming together, working together, so that we can, you know, pool our resources and pool our efforts together and put this in the hands of the people here, because we love it, we value it, we treasure the message. We talk about it every single service. We quote from it every single service. I'd like other people to be as blessed as we are, to be able to have it in their language and to be able to have access to it. Vision Books exists only to be a method, a way to get the solution into the hands of the people. The solution is the word of the Lord. The solution is the light of the hour. And Vision Books exists to get that into the hands of the people. I view this effort as something that will exist as long as there's a need. And if there's no need, wonderful. I believe if there's no need, we'll probably be sitting around one table called a marriage supper. But until that day, we read from brothers like this in a nation like Malawi who want to work together. They want to be able to get their translations coordinated. They want to be able to you know, put them in a way that so that they can be printed, so that everyone in the nation can have access to it. We are not anti-technology. We are not. I thank God for all the means and the methods whereby the message is available to us. I thank God that I can look up a quote anytime on my phone, no matter where I am. We can listen to it in our cars or on an airplane. You can have it on a CD, or you can have it on a cassette. You can have it on an 8-track. You can have it on a record album. You can have it on a reel-to-reel. You can have it in a book form. We can have it in all kinds of different formats, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm not against technology. I believe Brother Branham made a comment one time about how that, you know, he believed that God allowed technology to exist in his day to be able to capture the message so all of the rest could become possible for us. And so therefore, I believe in harnessing the technology that's available to us. And now, with electronic forms, we can have somebody in a European country translate a message, send it to us here, send it out to Seattle. From Seattle, it'll go over to a printer in another country there, put on a ship, transmit it over to another nation over there, and gets through into the hands of believers over there. They have a convention, you know, and they're able to all go home with new message material. And you know what? The body is benefited. The body of Christ is benefited by that process. This isn't up to me, and it's not about me. It's not about HBT here. I believe it's about simply the burden of the word of the Lord and the possibilities that exist to be able to put the message into the hands of people who want it. And I know a lot of believers in the world who want to have the message of the hour. Upcoming, we'll have on our website, we'll have testimonies. We'll have a section that is dedicated to the work that's going on, the books that are in progress. This meeting tonight is not a fundraiser. And it's not a fundraiser even for those people that are listening and listening by way of the internet. Because I believe whenever God is involved in something, when God inspires something, He has ways of meeting the need. So we don't need to go out and campaign. We don't need to go out and solicit funds. Not at all. As a matter of fact, just even the mention of this, brothers came to me and said, hey, this is something worth publishing. This is something precious. And we want to do our part to help carry it to the nations of the world. So for us, it's just like a pass-through operation. That you know, there's a way that we can help connect the people who can make this happen. And so starting from translators in different parts of the world, and again, we have many fine, wonderful brothers who are laboring, and now their work is able to be taken and put into large-scale printing so that many believers in a nation can have access to it. So from connecting printers to the printing process, to the shipping process, to putting it in the hands of the church people, I think it's a great possibility. And I think the possibilities really are endless. Because as long as there's a need and as long as there's a desire to have materials in their language, and let me tell you, with all the printing efforts that have gone on and all the distribution efforts that have gone on, every nation I go to, people say, boy, it's just... I always ask them. I always talk to the ministers and the people there and ask them, how many books do you have? Do you have your own Bible in your language? Do you have, materials that you can study from? Many times even the ministers don't have them. In China recently, this was the Bible that was printed by the believers over there. They never had a proper King James-type Bible ever in the Chinese language. And this is the Bible Brother Biscoe gave me just a little while ago, which was printed in China by a similar printer that we're working with so that the believers could have an adequate Bible with a proper translation that matches the message and so forth in their own hands. And that's been a great blessing to the people in the nation of China. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the opportunity. I'm excited about, what God's doing. And again, when you look at the progress and the evolution of kind of where we've come from to where we are now to when Brother Roy Borders started the printing process, he didn't have any funds. He didn't have anybody back in the operation. They went to a garbage dump in Tucson, Arizona, and picked out a linotype machine out of the garbage. It was a machine that people had discarded. They'd gotten rid of it. And he pulled it out of the garbage and fixed it up, oiled it and greased it, moved it to Jeffersonville, and began to print the message of the hour with it, using the reverse type, the hot lead, and to be able to build the racks and print the pages on the original books. And that's how it actually started. Now to see how it's evolved to where we are today, with so many different forms and so many different ways that we can have access to the message, I'm thankful. And I believe that God preserved it. God allowed it to be able to progress here so that now we are really a people without excuse because we have it so accessible. I want to make it accessible to people all over the world. I want to make it accessible to people wherever they live. And people who have the barrier of their language. And yet the translators are working, but there's no way to get the translated work into the hands of the people in the bush, in poor areas of a nation. There's no way for them to get that because maybe they don't have internet access or maybe they don't have a phone. And so now we can have them come to a convention or a meeting, have a pastor pass through the area, leave the materials with the people so that they can enjoy the message in their comfort of their own home. I think it's a blessing. Now, I guess, in some circles, this would probably be a moment now where everyone prepared to give an offering. But I'm going to do something different. Because, again, I don't believe that there's any need at all to try to solicit funds for something that God inspires. I thank God for the givers, and I thank God for the work that we will do. And I know that some of you have already who have been aware, some who are listening and contacted me today, they're aware and they're interested in helping out. And this is going to be an ongoing project for us. We've been thankful to be able to do the SD cards that Jeremy has worked on. And so we're able to supply people with, you know, a player with the SD card. And SD cards many times in their own languages. And now we're able to help supplement that with the books. And the first book comes out. And within a month, we'll have the first book being distributed in two different African nations there. And that's exciting. And all of that, we'll report to you and share with you. And I think it'd be just great for us to be able to travel to some of those countries and meet some of those believers who benefit from the efforts of believers. And some of that's already being worked on, and we're coordinating some trips here to get some of you over there. And I think that's exciting. But I'll tell you what I think is better than us taking an offering, and that is this. I think we should all stand together, and I think we should pray and just ask that God would lead and guide and direct all the efforts that go on in relation to this, and that we would make decisions and choices that benefit believers all over the world. And God's guidance and leadership would be given to us in wisdom to be able to know what to do and when to do it. And many times even, you get involved in something, it's important to know when to take a step, but it's also important to know when to draw back. And so we're always seeking His wisdom and His guidance. Why don't you stand with me together tonight? And I'd like you to pray with me, and musicians, if you want to slip back up to the instruments here. And I'd like you just to take a moment here, and we're living in an age where things are happening pretty quickly, and things are happening in a pretty dramatic way. They're finding now, where's Noah? He's got a picture on his phone there of the black hole that was just recently photographed here. And it's pretty amazing. Brother Branham said about Einstein, he said that, Einstein moved the scientific world ahead, way ahead of their time. He said he just had tremendous insight. He said there was a black hole way, way long before they were able to photograph it or even think about photographing it. And now we have pictures of it. We don't really know what it is. But there's this thing out here. And there are signs in the heavens. And there are changes that are taking place in Israel. And there are movements in the earth. Movements in the political realm. That all indicate to us that, you know what? We may get some of this stuff printed and distributed. We may even not. We don't know. But as long as we have light, as long as we have strength, as long as we have potential, I think we should work. I think we should sow seed. I think we should invest and do what we can to help because of the hour that we're living in. It's an exciting time. And if this is really that surge in the end of things, then I don't know about you, but I just want to be walking with Him. When He says we take a step, we'll take a step. And if we need to slow down, we'll slow down. If we need to speed up, we'll speed up. But I'd like to be walking with Him close enough and sensitive to His voice that we're able to respond, that we're able to be guided by His will. That's what we all want. Pray with me if you don't mind. Heavenly Father, as we bow in Your presence tonight, it is exciting, Lord, to see things that are taking place in this world, Lord. Supernatural, phenomenal things that are taking place all around us. And Lord, our desire is to play our part. That's all. This is not about projecting anyone or any church, Lord, or anything like that. Lord, You know our hearts. You know our desire. It is simply, Lord, a means, a channel that You can use to be able to get this life-giving message into the hands of believers. And Father, we pray that these efforts, Lord, would be blessed, that people, Lord, would be inspired to do the work of the translation, Lord, and all the technical things that have to go on, and the finances, Lord, and all of those things, Lord. We just pray that all of those things would exist just as a means, just as a channel, a conduit. It helps get the life-giving message to to people who believe, people who would never have an opportunity to own their own book. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless this assembly. And Lord, help us to play our part and to do what is necessary, Lord, in order to really accomplish things on behalf of the Bride of Christ. I just want to say, Lord, I just appreciate this people. And Lord, in just a simple way, how, Lord, you have used them to, Lord, be able to support things that have gone on in the world. And we're just so thankful for that, Lord. Have your way, we pray, among us. Have your way, Lord, in our hearts, that you can give us inspiration and guidance and leadership, Lord. Because without it, it's just our ideas. It's just our thinking. But Lord, your prophet taught us that whenever we're involved in doing mission work, we're always in the will of God. And so, Lord, we want to be found faithful at our post of duty. I pray for your blessing. Pray for your guidance, Lord, in making choices and doing what needs to be done in this late last hour. I'd like to say, Lord, I thank you for a prophet that spoke English. A prophet, Lord, that came to us in our time. And Lord, brought a message that we can so have access to. And you saw fit to allow it to be recorded, every single sermon to be recorded, that we can now enjoy and we can listen to it. How thankful we are, Lord. How blessed we are now in our understanding of it. And Lord, we know that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, may we do our part to see that that message gets to people worldwide. We commit this need. We commit this whole thing into your hands now and pray for your blessing upon it all. In the wonderful, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. This is the evening time. It's later than you think. Preparing now for her Lord to meet. All things are ready now. Bridegroom, I hear. Ye that have an ear to hear, evening time. Time sounds so good. Oh, this is the evening time. It's later than you think. The bride is preparing now for her Lord to meet. All things are my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. I give you praise.
give you my soul, and I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, give you my soul, and I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, Lord, have your way in me.
Praise the Lord. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. This has been a little bit different tonight, but I thank you for coming and being attentive. And I just would ask, if nothing else, that you would just remember the need in prayer. And over time, I'll share with you some of the emails that I get, you know, from brothers, and just they're just excited about the possibility of getting books in their hand and getting materials that they can distribute among their churches there. And years and years and years of, you know, believing the message, being in a message church, and never owning a book, never having one that they've been able to have in their hand. And, you know, just to be able to hear their stories and their testimonies of how it's been a blessing to them. So we'll share that with you. But if you don't mind, just pray that God will guide and direct, and we'll make all the right decisions and all the right steps in getting that. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so, but he looked beyond, he saw my need. Sing it now. I shall forever die for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my fallen soul, and he looked beyond my fall, and he saw my. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where my Jesus died for me. The grace that caught my falling soul, and he looked beyond my fall, and he saw my need. Lord Jesus, we are thankful for Calvary. Lord, what it means to us even tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just stir our hearts, Lord. Stir our hearts to action. To passionate action. Doing all we can, Lord. Find the last of the Gentile bride. And Lord, to help them whatever way we can. I pray, dear God, that you would guide us in your will, and that, Lord, you would bless this assembly as we continue, Lord, to be a light, be a help with other assemblies that have a burden to carry the word of the Lord into all nations. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would be our strength, be our guide, be our supply. Lord, you're still Jehovah Jireh tonight. And you sent this message, Lord. And now we are the actors. We are the people, Lord, that possess it. We are the people that embrace it. And we are the people who love it and value it and highly esteem it. So, Lord, may we do the right thing with it. I commit this need tonight into your hands again. I commit the assembly into your hands, Lord. I ask, oh God, that you would give protection to all through the storms of the night. And not only tonight, but as we walk to do the King's business, Lord, protect us, I pray. We commit the people in this weekend services, Lord, Brother Aaron, into your hands and ask that you would just bless and make the time that we gather, Lord, make it special, is my prayer. In all of our traveling, all of our endeavors, Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would accompany us. And we'll give you thanks and praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all the bride said, God bless you tonight as you go. Amazing grace shall always be my song. That bought my liberty. Do not know just why he came to love.